Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Three-step drop. Oh, he is buried. He is sacked. It is Mario Williams back at midfield.
You got to give me that leg, Will. You got to give me that leg, Will.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Throws it downfield, intercepted, picked off by Jarris Bird. The ball hawk with the interception for the Bills.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Tonight, Hall of Fame coach Marv Levy joins us to talk about the Hall of Fame prospects for one of his players, Andre Reed. We'll talk about the Bills' new senior offensive assistant with the play-by-play voice of the Ravens, Jerry Sandusky. And Bills linebacker Arthur Motes joins us, all coming up tonight on the show.
This is pandemonium!
CJ at the 10, 5, touchdown! CJ Spiller, touchdown Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive. This is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Well, how are you? Hope you're doing well. Hope you're staying warm. Good evening. Welcome to a live edition of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We are live tonight for the next 2 hours. Been a while since we've had a live radio show since last Friday, but happy to do it tonight. Looking forward to the show. A wide variety of guests coming up and a lot of things to talk about tonight. We want to welcome you to the show to talk about some of these issues. The phone line's open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-552-550. You can always reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. I want to get your opinion on a number of things as we finally get a chance to this week after back-to-back podcasts on Monday and Tuesday this week. Now it's live radio from now until 9 o'clock. You heard the lineup. Marv Levy, the Hall of Fame coach, going to join us at the bottom of the hour, this hour. We talk with Marv about Andre Reed, his chances for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We're going to ask Marv about Super Bowl week, what memories it brings back to him. A lot coming up with Marv Levy at 7:30 tonight. The Bills hired a new senior offensive assistant today. We're going to talk about him a little bit. We're going to talk about him with Jerry Sandusky, who is the play-by-play voice of the Baltimore Ravens. That's where the new senior assistant, Jim Hostler, came from. And after 6 years with the Baltimore Ravens, Jim Hostler is now the Bills' senior offensive assistant. We'll get the inside info on him from the guy who calls the Ravens play-by-play, Jerry Sandusky. That's coming up at 8 o'clock. Arthur Motes joins us at 8:30 tonight. The Bills linebacker needs your help to try to win a nationwide competition. He is one of the two finalists in a nationwide competition to help the United Way, trying to line up volunteers for the United Way. We'll talk with Arthur Motes live about that push coming up at 8:30 tonight. And a lot to talk about tonight, including your input. Your input on a couple of things. We want to ask you first and foremost about the Super Bowl and the big flap so far in Super Bowl week. Marshawn Lynch, the former Bills running back, he exited the podium early again today, or the media room early again today. How big a deal is this? How big a deal is it that Marshawn Lynch doesn't stay for what the media decides is the prescribed amount of time? The Pro Football Writers Association filed a formal complaint with the NFL about Marshawn's performance or lack of a performance yesterday. They are all up in arms about Marshawn Lynch snubbing the media. The league, the NFL, says he was there, he fulfilled his requirements. What do you think? What are Marshawn Lynch's duties when it comes to media availability? What are players' duties when it comes to media availability? We'll hear from Marshawn Lynch in a moment or two, but we want to hear from you. I think Marshawn clearly is uncomfortable and on the podium, uncomfortable in front of the media. You know how he is. He's a bit of a knucklehead. We saw that in his stint here in Buffalo. But what does he have to do to participate in Media Day, and how important is it? What kind of answers are you going to get from Marshawn Lynch anyway when it's all said and done if he sits there for the prescribed amount of time? I don't have a big problem with what Marshawn Lynch is doing this week. That's pretty much what he's been doing all week. If you followed Marshawn Lynch throughout his career, you know that he is not comfortable talking to the media. And I don't know that with the fact that he's not comfortable means that he has to sit there and endure question after question after question. I mean, he can sit there mute, which is almost what he did today. I don't have a big problem with it. I think it's a tempest in a teapot, a media-created controversy at the Super Bowl this week, and I just don't think it's that big a deal. But, boy, if you look at what some people are writing and saying about Marshawn Lynch, you'd think he committed a crime. He did not. You know, he just doesn't want to sit there and answer questions. There's a really good article on NFL.com written by Michael Silver. Not my favorite writer, by the way, but the other day, Monday, Michael Silver did manage to get last week an exclusive one-on-one with Marshawn Lynch, and he talked about his reluctance to talk to the media. He says, you know, Marshawn Lynch says he just doesn't, he's not comfortable doing it. He has nothing to say. He doesn't feel like he needs to, you know, cater to the media. His teammates back him up. His teammates say he's a heck of a teammate, plays hard. Obviously, he is a key member of the Seattle Seahawks and their run to the Super Bowl this year. Marshawn says he just doesn't feel like talking to the media about it. Says he's not comfortable making it about me. I would direct you to that article. It's on NFL.com. Michael Silver, their NFL media columnist at NFL.com. Marshawn Lynch's quiet power behind the Seahawks Super Bowl run. I think it's worth reading and thinking about as Marshawn Lynch is in the, you know, in the firestorm of media criticism this week about his failure to do exactly what the media wants. I don't think it's that big an issue. If you have a feeling about that, give us a call. 803-0550 is the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You know the news by now. The Bills have hired a new senior offensive assistant, Jim Hostler, who comes to Buffalo after the last 6 years with the Baltimore Ravens, 15 years NFL coaching experience. He is the senior offensive assistant. He is not the wide receivers coach. Your thoughts on that? Your thoughts on Mike Patton's departure? The hiring of Jim Schwartz? We have not had a chance to talk about that on the show yet because we're on podcast the last two nights. Anything about the Bills coaching shuffle? Give us a call. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. If you're keeping score of what the Bills are up to coaching wise, here's what we've got so far. Defensive coordinator Mike Patton out, went to Cleveland, you know that. Jim Schwartz is in from Detroit, former head coach there. Linebackers coach, the two of them from last year from the Bills, Jim O'Neill and Chuck Driesbach, both of them gone, both to Cleveland. The Bills have yet to fill that role. Defensive line, Anthony Weaver was here for the 1 year. Now he's with the Cleveland Browns. That vacancy still exists for the Buffalo Bills. Defensive quality control, Brian Fleury, spent 1 year here with the Bills. He is now in Cleveland, so that vacancy exists for the Bills right now. So Patton took four defensive assistants with him, Jim O'Neill, Chuck Driesbach, who had been dismissed by the Bills, Anthony Weiner, and Brian Fleury. On the offensive side of the ball, the Bills have hired a quarterback's coach that they did not have that position last year, Todd Downing. Wide receivers coach, still vacant. Ike Hilliard, as you know, was let go. He hooked on with the Washington Redskins. And now the creation of a new post on offense, senior offensive assistant. That goes to Jim Hostler, who comes over from the Baltimore Ravens. So as far as vacancies, it would appear the Bills have at least one vacancy at linebacker coach, one vacancy at defensive line, and one vacancy at defensive quality control, and a vacancy at wide receivers. That's what the coaching staff has been busy doing the head coach has been busy doing the last week or so. You may have thoughts on that. Suggestions for who they should hire, your thoughts on the addition of Jim Schwartz to the Bills coaching staff. Maybe you have some early thoughts on Jim Hostler and what he might be able to bring. Give us a call on that. Phone lines open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. Finally, we're going to talk with Marv Levy a little bit later on this hour about Andre Reed and his chances of going into the Hall of Fame. Is there anything that has not been said about Andre Reed and his candidacy for the Hall of Fame that you think needs to be said? What's left for Andre Reed? What's left for the voters to consider when they consider Andre Reed? We're going to ask Marv Levy about it, but you may have some thoughts on that. What would push him over the edge and make those voters finally put Andre Reed in his eighth year as a finalist on the ballot? All of those topics are open. The phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We'll start with Tom in Niagara Falls. Hello, Tom. You're on the air.
Okay, yeah, I just want to start off by saying I didn't really care one way or the other about Marshawn Lynch, you know, not talking to the media, but now that it's an issue, before the season, I had read a piece in SI about how, you know, he was in the off season, he was sitting at business meetings talking to, you know, boards of businesses about expanding his brand, et cetera, taking on internships and stuff, so I don't like the way that it's portrayed as, you know, poor little shy Marshawn, when in the off season, when it's financially bettering him, he has no problem talking to people. And I just think the media members, they're the average fans' lens into the NFL. And I mean, you know, we pay their money in subsidies, tax breaks, stadiums, ticket revenue. So to kind of show contempt for media members when in the offseason you have no problem, you know, talking to important people and groups of businessmen and all that. It's just, that's what I don't like about the whole situation. I mean, I really didn't care about it, but when I thought back to that piece, it just kind of aggravated me that he's playing this side of it, that he's really super-duper shy, but, you know, he had no problem in the offseason when it comes to his business.
Yeah, I didn't see that article about Marshawn and his business interests. I'd be interested in looking at that. I don't know if he's ever said that he's shy. Marshawn is always, he's always been talkative around people he wants to talk to, teammates, friends. It's just in this case, he doesn't want to talk to the media.
It shows a certain contempt for you guys. Like, it's part of the job. You know, you're getting paid millions of dollars. And, just talk, give us a couple of sound bites just so I can read some nonsense article while I'm at work. That's all I ask for, you know.
Why do you need the nonsense? I mean, and what do you need from Marshawn to contribute to that nonsense?
An article to read on ESPN or something. I'm sure he has something to say. You know, every player is required to do it, you know. So it just, for him to feel like he's above all of that, that kind of doesn't sit well with me.
I understand that. All right, let's do this. Marshawn did talk today briefly, less than 7 minutes, had a couple of things to say to the media in New Jersey, as they're assembled there for the Super Bowl. Let's listen to what Marshawn Lynch had to say in their very short sound bites. And first of all, he started out by saying he really doesn't have much to say, and that's why he's reluctant to go to these media sessions this week.
I really ain't got too much to say, boss. I really don't. I mean, I appreciate it, but it's just, I don't get it.
Would you describe yourself?
I'm just here so I won't get fined, boss. That's the only reason why I'm here.
Marshawn says he's just here so he won't get fined. He's kind of spelling it out as honestly as he can. This goes to a point that the last caller, Tom, had to say about communicating to the fans through the media, and Marshawn addressed this directly. He says the media really is not the way that he wants to communicate to fans.
I mean, if y'all say y'all was our bridge from the players to the fans, and the fans really ain't really tripping, so then what's the point? What's the purpose? They got my back. I appreciate that. But I don't get what's the bridge being built for.
Marshawn, have you always been that way since you were younger, just not really wanting to do any public speaking, talk to anybody?
Nope.
So you heard Marshawn say it. He does not consider the media as the bridge, as he put it, as the conduit for him expressing his thoughts to his fans. And he thinks the fans have his back, unlike Tom in Niagara Falls, the first caller earlier on. Lynch, one more comment that he made today, as he did sit for 6 or 7 minutes today. Marshawn said that this has become a media-generated issue this week, and that, to me, makes a lot of sense when you think about that. What did I read, 6,000 credentialed media this week to cover the Super Bowl run-up to the game? They have finally some controversy to talk about. Otherwise, you got to talk about is a game. Marshawn says this is not important. He says it's a media-generated issue.
I don't have a problem with it. I'm not the one with the problem with it. The people that, the 12s that I play for on Sunday don't got a problem with it. The media has a problem with it.
I don't know that anybody has a problem with it. I think it's just that they
well,
like
it's a problem if they choose to take something away from me for not doing it.
That's the league. I don't think any reporters find it, to be fair.
Well, I mean, reporters probably had to call it in. So it starts somewhere, right?
Yeah, he's right about that. The complaints from the media led to the $50,000 fine that was levied against Marshawn Lynch for not talking at all during the season. That fine is yet to be completely assessed. I think the league wanted to wait and see how he handled the media during the playoffs and the Super Bowl. So far, he's not handling it very well. But the league did issue a statement yesterday saying that by showing up at the media news conferences this week, he is fulfilling his media obligations. I don't know. I do think there's an element of this being a media-generated issue, a media that doesn't have a whole lot to talk about. Here is Dennis in Hamburg. Dennis, welcome. Dennis, you're on the show. Good evening.
How are you?
Good.
I totally agree with Marshawn. I never thought I would say that, but what do you want the guy to say about the game? The game is talked about for 2 weeks. It's picked apart by everybody in pretty much the whole sports world. And then they keep putting the microphones in his face, and they're waiting for him to slip up. They're waiting for him to say something that's going to strike a controversy, and then it's just going to, you know, steamroll from there. So I agree with him. I mean, if he has nothing to say, I applaud his honesty. And I think they should just probably leave him be. And if there's plenty of players that want to talk, you know, let them talk. Like some of the questions that Peyton Manning had to answer about, you know, which housewife show he watched.
Right.
Or, exactly. You know, it had nothing to do with the game, you know. And so I kind of agree with him.
All right. Thanks, Dennis. And one point that you made, I think, bears repeating. You move on. And I've been in that position. If a player is reluctant to talk, and I mean in this locker room here or other locker rooms, somebody, especially around a football team where there's 53 players on the roster, somebody doesn't want to talk, you move on to the next guy. You know, you do without until they're ready to talk. I mean, I just don't know if you can force a guy or fine a guy into talking. I just don't know if that's the way to do it. Let's go to Mike in Tonawanda. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with a couple of things that I've heard. Really, I don't really care what Marshawn Lynch has to say. There's plenty of players that do want to talk, you know, and for him to be getting fined for not talking, I think just puts added stress in his mind that he doesn't need. And, you know, if anything, he should be spending time thinking about the upcoming game and, you know, game planning for that. And, you know, it really doesn't bother me at all if he doesn't want to talk.
All right, Mike, thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Tim in West Seneca. Hi, Tim. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How are you? Hey, what I'm curious about is this. I think exactly what you touched on earlier is exactly what Marshawn's doing. He's playing into his image. He's branding himself and, you know, being 3 years removed, maybe 4 years removed from Buffalo, he is being talked about on the radio. He's winning. Like Charlie Sheen, winning. That's what he's doing. He's winning. And his PR people have told him that, and everyone has told him that. You're not a great public speaker. You're not this and that, but here's how you – now he's got a Skittles endorsement. He's got this. Now everyone's talking about him. He won.
Yeah, you might have a point there, Tim. He, you know, and he's always had his own brand. I mean, I don't know that – you know, I know Marshawn from his time here in Buffalo. I don't know if he is as calculated as you make it sound. I think Marshawn is, you know, goes to his own, you know, follows his own instincts. You know what I mean? He dances to the beat of a different drummer. He comes from a place, you know, in Oakland where most of us can't identify with, and he is true to that place. I think he is true to his buddies back in Oakland. And you would be hard-pressed to find a guy who is more liked by his teammates than Marshawn Lynch was here in Buffalo, or it appears that he is in Seattle, which is probably more of an ultimate measure of what kind of a player he is. You know, the fact that I think his teammates regard him as a very good teammate. I don't know that anybody would ever tell you that he's not. His current Seattle teammates say it, and when he was here in Buffalo, he was considered to be a good teammate. I don't know that he's doing the Seahawks any harm. He's probably doing himself harm and maybe doing himself harm when it comes to the fines that may be levied against him. I just don't know that the media has an absolute right to talk for as long as they want to whoever they want in this game or in any other game. I just find it interesting the way that some of the media works itself into such a frenzy about Marshawn Lynch not talking for as long as they want. If you have any thoughts on that, phone lines open, 803-0550, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We're going to talk more about that tonight. We're going to talk more about the addition to the Bills coaching staff, too, and let's get to that news. Jim Hostler is the Bills' new senior offensive assistant, 15 years in the NFL coaching. He has spent the last 6 years as the Baltimore Ravens wide receivers coach and had receivers there such as Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin. He's also spent 3 years, or 2 years rather, with the New York Jets. A couple of years with the New Orleans Saints, worked with Santana Moss, Wayne Crevette, Justin McCarrans, Dante Stallworth. The native of Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, came into the league in 2000 as a quality control assistant with the Kansas City Chiefs, coached receivers for the most part, including the last 6 years as receivers coach with the Baltimore Ravens. He was offensive coordinator with the 49ers in 2007 after a couple of years as quarterbacks coach there. So a wide array of experience on the offensive side of the ball for Jim Hostler. He would not be, you wouldn't think he's going to be the receivers coach. The fact that the Bills named him the senior offensive assistant would seem to be a position above receivers coach here, so the Bills still have that hole to plug on their coaching staff. Jim Hostler was widely regarded as the top candidate, and in the last the few days before the job was filled as the top candidate for the offensive coordinator position with the Baltimore Ravens. He did not get the job this past weekend. They hired Gary Kubiak, as you know. I read a story today in the Baltimore media that said that John Harbaugh may have been ordered to hire Gary Kubiak to run his offense by team ownership. And with that in mind, Hostler probably was looking for a place to land, and he landed here in Buffalo. The Bills' new senior offensive assistant, Jim Hostler, hired today. Meantime, around the league, Greg Williams, former Bills head coach, has been named the new defensive coordinator for the St. Louis Rams. The Rams last year had Tim Walton as their defensive coordinator, and he was let go after 1 year. Williams he was hired initially by Jeff Fisher to handle the St. Louis defense, and then never was able to coach because he was suspended for his role in the bounty scandal a year ago. Tim Walton got the job, and now Walton is fired, and Greg Williams replaces him. Greg Williams back in the league as the new defensive coordinator with the St. Louis Rams. Cowboys with some interesting coaching moves today. The Cowboys, with a very tough year on defense, Monty Kiffin was their defense coordinator last year. Now he is assistant head coach defense, and Rod Marinelli was promoted to defensive coordinator. So Marinelli somehow leapfrogs over Monty Kiffin. Kiffin's still on the coaching staff as assistant head coach defense, while Rod Marinelli becomes the defensive coordinator. At the Super Bowl, we talked about Marshawn Lynch and his issues today. Meantime, the Seahawks are happy that they're going to have Percy Harvin back in the lineup. His head is sound after a concussion forced him to miss the NFC Championship game. He missed 15 regular season games recovering from hip surgery, and then in the divisional round playoff game against New Orleans, he had a head injury and had to miss the championship game just a week ago, but now Percy Harvin is ready to go. And Pete Carroll, Seahawks coach, says he is very happy to have Percy Harvin back in his lineup.
He's a terrific football player with the dynamics of this tremendous speed that he has, the intensity that he brings when the ball is in his hands, about how he carries. He runs like a running back. He's unusually aggressive, and he's such a versatile athlete that you have a lot of opportunities to do different things with him. So it causes the defense to have to be on guard for him running with the football, him catching and running, and also the tremendous speed he has to get down the field deep. So he's rare in that aspect that he has all those dimensions going for him. So we knew it from recruiting him, we knew it from playing against him, we knew it from watching him, and then we were thrilled to have the chance to put him on our team. We haven't had the opportunity to demonstrate how that's going to all work out and fit with our club yet to any extent, but this will be an opportunity in this game to get him involved. We said the whole time, this was never a thought to build a football team around one guy. We've never said that, never thought that way. We just want to add him to the mix and see how that contributes to the rest of the guys, and I think he should be able to contribute in a good way.
Pete Carroll, Seahawks coach, on Percy Harvin, full participation in practice today with his concussion. Wide receiver Doug Baldwin, also full practice with his hip. Brandon Mebane, defensive tackle, full practice today with an ankle injury. The only one who did not practice for Seattle today was Marshawn Lynch, not injury-related. Apparently, they gave him Wednesdays off through most of the year, and he did not practice today. For the Denver Broncos, defensive tackle Sione Fua did not practice today with a calf muscle injury. Everyone else, full practice for Denver. Two fairly healthy teams going into Super Bowl 48 this weekend. Seattle brings a very strong secondary into this game. That really is Pete Carroll's forte. Did you know he broke into the league in 1984 as the defensive backfield coach for the Buffalo Bills? And he has a particular style. Pete Carroll wants his corners to play up and play press coverage. Pete Carroll says that's the way he's always coached his DBs.
The play of our secondary has really been a process of developing each individual guy and bringing them together with the strengths that they bring. And it's the same exact process that I've always done and carried out. And I've been a secondary guy all my life, playing it and coaching it. And I don't think that the style of our play is any different than it's ever been. I think it's been heralded because we've assembled a great group of guys that have rallied together, grown up together, and made each other better. And so now as a group, they're really a solid group. The style of play has always been about playing at the line of scrimmage and affecting receivers right from the get-go, and that's our bump and run press stuff that we do. And I've been coaching this way, exactly the same way since I was at North Carolina State, however many years ago that was. So nothing's changed in our expectations or our standards of it. And the style that we played has gained notoriety because of the physical nature of the players.
Pete Carroll talking about his defensive backfield. Super Bowl 48 coming up Sunday, kickoff 6:30 p.m. on the Fox Television Network. Let's squeeze another phone call here. Chris in California. Chris, where are you calling from in California?
I'm out here in Santa Barbara, California.
What's up, Chris? How are you?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to chime in real quick on the Marshawn thing. That's him. I think they want people to be real, like he's being real. That's really him. He's not faking the funk. He's being the person he is. And, like, from the Bay Area, I have cousins out there in the Bay, and there's a certain lingo. They talk a certain way. And if he came out and be real and talk that way in the media there, they would probably think he's crazy, you know? So he's pretty much just keeping it cool. He's not trying to cause extra controversy, and that's him. When the game goes on, he's going to be small, and I think he may get the MVP of the game. That's my comment.
He might, Chris. Yep. You're right about that. He is a very powerful runner and seems to be running better than ever right now, the former Buffalo Bill. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Marshawn is being exactly – I think he's there's not an ounce of phoniness in him at all, which is why the first caller we had that talked about the – you know, him meeting with businesses, that just doesn't resonate with me. I can't envision Marshawn being like that. I mean, you may like it, you may not, but I think what you're seeing from Marshawn in these limited comments, that's exactly the way he was here. When he felt like talking from time to time, and it wasn't often, he was funny. He was engaging. Most of the time, he didn't want to talk a lot to the media. He kind of kept to himself for whatever reason. Interesting. He's an interesting character, and, you know, believe me, I think it was time for him to leave the Bills when he left mostly because of his off-field activities. He appears to have grown up somewhat off the field, but he has certainly grown into a very, very good running back, a powerful running back, and there are probably 31 other teams that would like to have a back like him on their roster. We'll talk more about Marshawn Lynch as the night moves along. Want to talk a little bit about our friends at NoCo, and boy, we had a great opportunity today. The folks at NoCo and Nickel City Foods sent over an amazing array of food tonight, just catering. We've been reading the spots for over a year talking about NoCo, talking about their catering at their Nickel City Foods side, and they finally showed us what they have. It's unbelievable stuff. We got tremendous beef on wick, this amazing stromboli cookies. We had some World Cup coffee. They sent it over today for our entire crew in the Bills digital media. Just great job by Linda Hollings and the people in the catering department at Nickel City Foods. They have healthy options. They do office catering, big parties, small parties. They'd probably cater your Super Bowl party this weekend if you wanted them to. They'll make it to order. They've got an amazing menu. I've got it right in front of me for party trays. They'll do breakfast stuff. They don't just do wings and beefs. They do a little bit of everything. They'll cater to your office, to your party, wherever you want. Nickel City Foods, it's a division of NoCo. We want to thank them for sending over the food tonight, NoCo and Nickel City Foods. And if you'd like to see what they have to offer, or if you'd like to order, go to nickelcitycafe.com, nickelcitycafe.com. Again, thanks to them for sending that over tonight. Just an amazing array, including the World Cup coffee. Thanks to them. It was a great treat for us on this cold winter day. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about the Hall of Fame election coming up this weekend. We're going right to a Hall of Famer. Marv Levy will join us next on the show. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NoCo. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show presented by NoCo from One Bills Drive. It is Super Bowl week down in New Jersey, New York. And on the line with us, a guy who knows his way around Super Bowl week, a guy who knows his way around the Hall of Fame election ceremonies as well. Bills Hall of Fame coach Marv Levy on the line with us. Marv, thank you very much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing great, John. It's great to join you again and all those fantastic fans there in Buffalo.
You know, folks around here still have fond memories of Super Bowl week, Marv. What goes through your mind? You know, we're 20 years removed from your last appearance in the Super Bowl, but what goes through your mind when Super Bowl week comes around?
No, you never forget being there, and actually at the time when it happened, you say, are we really here? But it's exciting. It's a culmination of maybe what you thought about when you were a little kid and wanted to be in sports. There was no Super Bowl, by the way, when I was a little kid, but you get the gist.
Yeah, I recall maybe the third and fourth time that you brought the Bills to the Super Bowl. I recall you and Bill Polian talking about how the first few times you think, well, let's change this, let's change that, let's practice now, let's practice here. And by the third or fourth time, you kind of surrendered and said, let's just go win. Is that accurate? Is my memory accurate about the way you approach those games?
Yeah, in fact, John, after we had lost, I don't remember whether it was the second or the third time, we were riding back in the somber confines of our team bus to the hotel after the game, and Bill sort of turned to me and said, Marv, you know, the only thing that really counts is what you do after the kickoff. Yeah. And I think the focus on the game, not all the falderall around it.
Well, the falderall has increased exponentially since the 20 years that the Bills have been there, Marv. It's really something, a cultural phenomenon, and media day this week. I mean, it really has grown way out of proportion, I think. You agree?
Oh, it has. It's on and on and on. And, you know, and there's so many things about the Super Bowl that I do love and like. Some of it is you don't want to take the focus off the game. It's always perplexed me why they have such a long, ongoing a halftime show. It's about the game. No, it just came back to me. They have it because of all the commercials you can weave in during yeah, that time.
That's right. And is it necessary? And here I'm probably biting the hand that feeds me. Is it necessary to have as many media availabilities as they have during the course of the week, the run-up to the game itself, Marv?
Well, it's something, John, we schooled our players, and it was not a, quote, distraction for us. We told them this is what it's going to be. Hey, isn't it better than not being here? Yeah, it becomes tremendously repetitious after a while, but it adds to the excitement, I guess.
We're on the line with Marv Levy, the Hall of Fame coach from the Buffalo Bills, headed to the Super Bowl this week. Marv, one Super Bowl weekend I want to ask you about came 13 years ago, 2001, when you got word that Saturday before that you had been elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Tell us about that day and what that day was like waiting to get that call.
Well, you know, I knew at that time, John, I was one of the 15 finalists. The game was down in Tampa. And I remember we were in our hotel room watching on television. My wife was with me, my daughter Kimberly, and they made the announcements of the various people, and I don't know if I was the fourth or the fifth one mentioned, but they finally mentioned my name, and I was blown away. I really almost hadn't expected it. I was stunned. My daughter jumped up on the bed and started jumping up and down. I thought she was going to bang her head on the ceiling. She was so excited. But it was wonderful. And we had to go over to the media center after, and first guy to run up to me there was Bill Polian. And I remember Steve Tasker, too, coming. But it's something you can hardly believe.
How did that experience compare to 7 months later on the steps there at the Hall of Fame in Canton? Two great moments, I bet, but was one better than the other? Was the announcement, the election, just because of the unexpected nature of it, did that make that even more special than the actual enshrinement 7 months later?
I'm trying to find out which was better. It's like like clapping your hands and saying which one made the noise.
Yeah.
I tell you, no, they're both wonderful. With the day that you finally are inducted and you stand on the platform and I looked out at the audience, so many people there, but in the audience also were many of the former Hall of Famers, guys that were legends like Chuck Bednarik, even from my younger days. And I see on their faces still this glow like, am I really here? Look, it was inspiring.
You delivered, I believe, one of the great acceptance induction speeches of all time, Marv. And the point of your speech, your enshrinement speech, when you talked, I think I'm paraphrasing here, you said, somebody asked me once if I wish I had a son, and you went on to say, I've had thousands of them. I mean, that brought me to tears out there in the audience in Canton. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I do recall saying it. Someone, had a daughter and have a son, and I said, but I've had thousands of them of every size, shape, color, faith, and temperament, and I love them every one, I meant it.
Great speech. Marv Levy on the line with us, a Hall of Fame coach from the Buffalo Bills, headed to the Super Bowl this week. And Marv will be there on this weekend when his player, Andre Reed, once again has a chance to be in the Hall of Fame. One of 15 finalists. I believe it's the eighth year, that Andre Reed has been a finalist, Marv. He's waited. He's certainly been patient about this. He's waited his turn, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. He's handled it very graciously. I think he's tremendously deserving. You know, you can talk about statistics. When he retired, he was the third most prolific receiver of all time. But it went way beyond that with Andre, if you stop to think about it. We had a balanced offense. It wasn't just focused on one guy, and yet he racked them up. There was nobody ever in the history of the game, in my opinion, better at coming across the middle, more courageous. His nickname with our players was Yak, Y-A-C, not because he talked a lot, was yards after catch. And there's one other element with Andre, with all those statistics that you mentioned. He didn't get them in the in nice warm weather climate or in the comfy confines, I should say, of an indoor stadium. He got it in weather sometimes, which was tremendously challenging. Modest guy, team player, so deserving. I hope this is his year.
Marv, when you think about the way your offense ran, and now, Andre, you know, this year another finalist is Marvin Harrison, the great receiver from the Colts, who played in a pass-oriented offense and played in an era when the game was much more wide open as far as the passing game. It's almost doesn't make sense to compare Andre's numbers to somebody like Marvin Harrison or some of the receivers who are coming up after him, because clearly now 20 years later, Andre played in a different era of pro football, didn't he?
Yes, he did. It was maybe a style that our style of offense at that time may have ignited, but it was just the beginning of it. The type of offenses which have evolved since in the league. But Andre did, and again, not just statistics, all those other things. And around him were guys like Don Beebe and Pete Metzlars and Keith McKellar and James Lofton. And even Thurman was a great receiver out of the backfield. The ball was spread around a lot, and one of the reasons it was able to is that people thought they better double up on Andre.
Yeah. What do you recall about Andre when you arrived here in 1986, and that had to be his third year in the league, a fourth-round pick out of a little tiny school in Pennsylvania? What kind of a player was he when you first got here in 86, Marv?
Well, he was good. I didn't know much about him. Had been, as you say, a fourth-round draft choice out of a relatively smaller college environment. There had been a player picked in the draft by the Bills in an earlier round than Andre the same year, Chris Burkett, a good receiver. But when I practice started, I said, wow, this guy's good. Then about 2 weeks later, I said, this guy is really good. And then about a month later, I said, wow, we've got somebody special here.
You know, my memory too, Marv, is that every summer when you'd take your team to training camp in those years, late 80s now, every summer it seemed Andre came back to camp a little bigger, a little stronger, and a little better. He had to be putting in a lot of work during the offseason to get as big as he got and as good as he got.
Yes, he did. He was a tremendous preparer, physically worked at it very hard, and you're right. He developed, he matured. It wasn't on steroids. It was hard work. It was our great strength and conditioning coach, Rusty Jones, who helped so much in that category as well. And it was his teammates who encouraged him, and just the entire atmosphere. But deep down, basic to it, was his character and his desire.
You talked about Andre going over the middle. How much of a part of your offense was that, and what did teams try to do to take that away from you and Andre Reed, Marv?
Well, sure, it's part of our offense, but, you know, he has to have a variety of routes he can run. As I say, we had a lot of other receivers who people were fearful of, but when I talked about him going over the middle, I was just talking about the courage that he had and the concentration he'd have on the ball, not on where am I going to get hit after I catch the ball. And he had that tremendous ability to make the catch and immediately transfer to putting it away and taking off for the opponent's goal line. Another really thing to remember about Andre, what he did in the great comeback game during the last 20 minutes of the game, I believe, he scored our last three touchdowns. And some of them were on, one of them I remember was on a 4th-and-11 situation, and another one with 4 minutes to go, the go-ahead touchdown. All of those were points that, again, add up to his wonderful resume.
Marv, if you had a chance to speak to the electors who will go in that room on Saturday, what would you say to them about Andre Reed to maybe put him over the top? What do you think would carry some weight with that group?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would acknowledge there are tremendously worthy guys in that final 15, two other receivers as well. I would say something I mentioned to you earlier. I would talk about his yards after catch, his work ethic, his team orientation, all of those things. But then again, I would strongly point out, John, the weather conditions under which he managed those weren't conducive to helping you stack up statistics. He did it anyway.
Marv, since you went in the Hall of Fame in 2001, several players from your teams, James Lofton, Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith, Mr. Wilson, several players have gone in the Hall of Fame. Did you ever imagine that you'd be coaching, and Jim Kelly, I should add,
I think he did, too.
Yeah, he did. That's right. Did you ever imagine when you were with that group back here in Orchard Park that you were talking to a room of Hall of Famers, potential Hall of Famers?
You didn't think in those terms then, no. You didn't. You thought in terms of how are we going to pick up the Steelers' zone blitz. That's what you were thinking about, or something of that nature. You didn't think about it, but as the years passed and you retired and you reflected back, I started to say, boy, we've got a bunch of guys who are merited, and I will savor the days that come and when they might go in. There are others, too, maybe because there are others on other teams, too. But, you know, the greatest special team player of all time, hands down, Steve Tasker. That's one-third of the game. Boy, if it is, I think we ought to recognize it by bringing someone in like that as well.
Marv, thank you for talking to us tonight. We appreciate it. Have a great time at the Super Bowl. We'll talk again soon.
Look forward to it, John. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Marv Levy, Hall of Fame coach for the Buffalo Bills. Andre Reed, a finalist this Saturday. The electors will vote in New Jersey or New York. Yes, it's New York, Midtown Manhattan, on Saturday to decide whether Andre Reed goes in the class of 2014 for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Always good to hear from Marv Levy, Hall of Fame coach of the Buffalo Bills. Makes a strong case, I think, for Andre Reed's inclusion into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We'll find out on Saturday night. In fact, it's part of now the NFL Honors Show, a television show that airs from 8 to 9 p.m. on the NFL Network this Saturday night. I'm sorry, it's on Fox TV. My mistake. 8 p.m. on Fox TV this weekend. They will tape at 6 to 8, and the Hall of Fame announcement will come at 7 o'clock. So the news will be out by 7, and you can see it on Fox TV at 8 o'clock. The Hall of Fame, the NFL Honor Show, will find out if Andre Reed makes it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We're talking about that. We're talking about Marshawn Lynch and his media controversy at the Super Bowl this week. And you can talk also about the Bills coaching shuffle, another change made today with Jim Hostetler coming on as a new senior offensive assistant. If you have thoughts on that, phone lines are open at 803-0550. A call here from Mark in Jersey City. Hi, Mark. Welcome.
How you doing? They've been very consistent with the whole, you know, ever since Russ Brandon took over, the whole forward-thinking, aggressive, attacking, and that shows through, I think, with Schwartz being hired now. Today, this hiring, a guy who was up for an offensive coordinator job, comes in, and he's a guy who's been around and also the quarterback coach, so they're really going all in, it looks like. That was the whole thing, was that they were cheap on hiring coaches, but I think they had to open up the pocketbook a little bit to bring Schwartz in there, pretty sure.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mark, and Hostler, you would think, did not come cheaply either. Obviously, things did not go his way in Baltimore. He wanted to be an offensive coordinator there, so... In both cases, in both hires this week, Jim Schwartz on Monday and Jim Hostetler today, you're getting guys who were considered, among the top at their profession. Hostetler was very much in line to be the coordinator there. Jim Schwartz just coming off a long stint as the head coach at Detroit, and a stint before that as a successful defensive coordinator. It can't do anything but help when you get that kind of help on the coaching staff. I think they are positive strides forward. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more. We're going to talk more about Jim Hostetler with Jerry Sandusky. Jerry Sandusky is the play-by-play voice of the Baltimore Ravens. He has been around Jim Hostetler for the last 6 or 7 years in Baltimore. We'll talk with him when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Time is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
Hey, hold hands. Let's go. Check it out.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Welcome back. A news item from the Bills today. They have a new senior offensive assistant, Jim Hostetler. named the team's senior offensive assistant, 15 years coaching in the NFL, the last six with the Baltimore Ravens. We are live on the line right now with the play-by-play voice of the Ravens and the sports director at WBAL-TV in Baltimore, Jerry Sandusky. Jerry, good evening. Thanks for coming on the show with us tonight.
John, my pleasure. Great to visit with you.
Were you surprised that Jim Hostler left the Ravens to come here to Buffalo?
No, when he didn't get the offensive coordinator's job, I think most people expected that he wouldn't come back because he went into last weekend looking like he was the front runner for that job. And then when the Ravens came out of the weekend with Gary Kubiak as the coordinator, the feeling was that Gary Kubiak was going to have a lot of say on how he built the staff. And, you know, Jim was in a tough spot where, you know, he thinks he's going to be the coordinator, and now is he going to be a position coach in a completely different offense? I think once he knew he wasn't going to get the coordinator's job, he wanted a fresh start somewhere else.
Jerry, I read somewhere that it was almost forced upon John Harbaugh to find an offensive coordinator other than Jim Hostler. Is that the case?
Not the case. No, that's not the case. That was one columnist speculation, and that's not at all how the Ravens operate. Steve Bisciotti isn't going to tell John Harbaugh who his coordinator has to be. It was John Harbaugh who kind of set the tone on the search of, I want to talk to everybody. He had 30 candidates. He talked to 15 of them, and he was talking with Rick Dennison, who is now the Ravens quarterback's coach. He was talking to Rick Dennison about Kyle Shanahan. They had worked together, and Dennison was the one who said, hey, you might want to revisit with Gary Kubiak, because when the Ravens first started their search, Kubiak was still thinking he might be in the hunt for a head coaching job or two. When that didn't come to pass, he was in more of a mental state to say, okay, maybe I'm ready to be a coordinator again. So it was Dennison who let John Harbaugh know that Kubiak might be available for this, and they got together last weekend and cut the deal.
That makes some sense, and it's almost a parallel to what the Bills did to get a former head coach, Jim Schwartz, to come here and coach their defense. I mean, that's a very qualified, highly qualified offensive coordinator the Ravens have now.
And when you can get a guy like Gary Kubiak in with the Ravens, it's a double benefit, because the Ravens have had so many difficulties and have so much respect for what they used to have to do against the Houston Texans and what Gary Kubiak did with Denver. But in the Harbaugh era, they didn't love playing the Texans because the Texans were always so good. The Texans destroyed them a couple of years ago down in Houston. And had it not been for an injury to Arian Foster a couple of years ago, the Texans probably would have beaten the Ravens in the playoffs here in Baltimore. They were that good. So they know exactly what Gary Kubiak brings. And as you mentioned, Jim Schwartz brings the same thing to your defense. And, John, the other thing it brings is it gives the head coach an ally on his staff. Because head coaches don't have a lot of people they can talk with about the pressures, the demands, the decisions they have to make. And if they can have that one assistant who knows what it's like to wear the head coach's hat and to have those responsibilities, it's a real benefit to the head coach to have that built-in sounding board.
That's a really good point. We're talking with the voice of the Baltimore Ravens, Jerry Sandusky. We're talking about Jim Hostler, the new senior offensive assistant for the Buffalo Bills. 6 years as a receivers coach in Baltimore. What can you tell us about Coach Hostler?
Jim has two skills that really stand out. One, I think he's an exceptional evaluator of talent. And he's blind to things like where you were taken in the draft, what college you played at. He has the ability to see a player and to know what that player can do and to know what that player can't do. And I'll give you a good example. Jacoby Jones. Last offseason, when the Ravens traded away Anquan Boldin, everybody realized, okay, that means Torrey Smith becomes the number one and Jacoby Jones becomes the number two receiver. Well, I had several conversations with Jim Hostler who said, we're not going to make Jacoby Jones your typical number two receiver because Jacoby is a fast guy, but he doesn't have the ability to come back to the ball very well, and he doesn't have the built-in ability to get vertical, to go up for balls the way Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin did. So he doesn't have the classic skill set of a number two receiver. So, and I've watched him do this with a lot of receivers, identify what their skill set is, see what they can grow into, and see what they'll never grow into, and he doesn't try to force players to be who they're not. There are a lot of coaches who do, and Jim doesn't. The other thing he does is he is a magnificent teacher of technique. Torrey Smith has become a fabulous receiver for the Ravens. The very first day we saw him at the first mini camp after the draft, everybody sort of thought maybe the Ravens made a mistake on this kid because he's fast, but he doesn't have any skills. He doesn't have any ball skills. He doesn't have route running skills. And in a couple of years with Jim Hostler, he has become a very polished, very seasoned receiver much sooner and at a much higher level than any of us expected.
Hey, Jerry, the Jim Hostler came to the Ravens from San Francisco where he served a one-year stint as offensive coordinator. What sort of input do you think he would have on the overall design of the Buffalo offense as the senior offensive assistant here?
You know, I think that's going to have a lot to do with Doug Marrone's relationship with your offensive coordinator and the relationship that Jim builds with your offensive coordinator, because there's a real bit of diplomacy that you have to play when you step in with the title of senior offensive assistant. It means you're not the coordinator, you're not the position coach. You have to be careful not to step on everybody's toes. So I think the big thing that Jim will bring is he will bring the ability to self-scout. He'll be able to come in and help the coordinator, help Marrone look at your offense the way opponents will look at it. Find the flaws, find the weaknesses, and find some of the ways to solidify the areas that are going to be most tested going forward. And as a senior offensive assistant, you'll find that most of Jim's inputs are very subtle, and to avoid creating any staff tension, he won't get credit for them. That's typically how I have found the senior assistant role plays out.
You know, we were speculating the Bills offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, two-thirds of the way into the season, went from upstairs in the coaching box down on the field so he could get a better handle on E.J. Manuel. We were speculating that now Jim Hostler may be Nathaniel Hackett's eyes upstairs and be on the headset directly to Nathaniel Hackett on the field. Can you see it working that way here?
I can see it working that way, and I can see it working the other way around, really? Not knowing Nathaniel Hackett and what his comfort level is. Some coordinators like to be up in the booth because they can see the entire field. They get a better feel for the defense on game day. Jim Hostler is the kind of guy who develops great relationships with players. Players really come to trust him. So I can also see him becoming the guy that E.J. Manuel really relates with and gives Hackett that link from the booth to the field. So it wouldn't surprise me to see it play out that way either.
You know, last thing, Jerry, you were saying when we talked on the phone earlier today how the Ravens were in a similar position with Steve Spagnuolo this past year. It just can't hurt to have another set of experienced eyes on the coaching staff. In fact, it's got to help, I would think, huh?
It helps for the present. It'll help you this season. And the other thing that it does is, look, we came up there and saw firsthand E.J. Manuel. I think Manuel's going to be a fantastic quarterback, and I think you guys are going to have a fantastic offense. I'm not blowing smoke at you. It really struck all of us when we saw the potential the Bills have on offense. Well, if that offense becomes one of the top five or six offenses in the NFL next season, then Hackett becomes one of the head coaching candidates that will be the buzz. If he gets hired away, then you have a guy like Jim Hostler already on the staff, familiar with the head coach, familiar with the system, and it's much easier to plug him right in if that's how the scenario plays out.
Another good point. Jerry, thank you very much for taking a few minutes with us tonight. We appreciate it.
You got it, John. Always a pleasure.
Jerry Sandusky is the play-by-play voice of the Baltimore Ravens. He is the sports director at WBAL-TV, the NBC affiliate in Baltimore, talking with us about Jim Hostler. Jim Hostler, the new senior offensive assistant for the Buffalo Bills. If you have thoughts on this hire or anything else regarding the Bills or Marshawn Lynch or the Super Bowl, give us a call. The phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. You can reach us toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. You can always follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Your thoughts on the addition of Jim Hostler to the Bills coaching staff. You heard Jerry Sandusky say what it could mean. I think it could mean something good. I never even thought of two things. I never thought of the impact that possibly losing Nathaniel Hackett a year or two down the road to have Jim Hostler ready to go as a backup offensive coordinator. I think that's a good point. The other point, we had a tweet earlier on about this issue. Let me see if I can find it. Somebody didn't like the idea, said, let me see if I can find it. Somebody mentioned that on Twitter that they thought it was here it is. If the offseason coaching moves are any indicator to what the offseason player moves will be, we're in for a bad show. Well, I disagree 100%. I think the addition of Jim Schwartz has been pretty outstanding for the Bills this year. I really do. And I think this week, today, the addition of Jim Hostler, along with Jim Schwartz on Monday, I think has been a couple of good hires by the Buffalo coaching staff. you wish. I mean, we're a month since the season ended, a month ago today. You wish that that sort of thing would have happened a couple of weeks ago, but all of this, most of this anyway, necessitated by the hiring away of Mike Pettine just last week. But still, I think they're doing a pretty good job of filling the vacancies with a couple of more vacancies to come. I really do. All right, let's switch gears for a second here. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, and we're coming to you live from One Bills Drive. And joining us on the line, live from the Super Bowl, is John Kutchko, who joins us, a frequent contributor to Super Bowl coverage. John, how many Super Bowls is this for you?
Murph, great to be with you from a frigid East Rutherford, New Jersey. This is my 16th Super Bowl week, and each one seems to get wilder and wilder, my friend.
Why do you say that? Why is this wild, John?
Well, I'm doing coverage not just for my CBS affiliate in Rochester, which is where I anchor, but I'm also doing live reports for about 50 to 55 other stations in every imaginable time zone all over the country. And you know what this is like. You're on a riser outside the stadium. You get some single-digit wind chill out there, and you're up there for 5-6 hours on end. It gets a little nutty.
Wow, that's unbelievable. So you're freezing along with doing the work. You're freezing out there. If it's any consolation, John, and you probably follow this pretty closely, the weather is supposed to get better, right?
Yeah, it is, and it's great news. I mean, they're expecting, I think, Saturday, temperature about 40, 41, Sunday around 39. That's certainly in the daytime. But if you look at a 7- or 10-day stretch of the weather here, the two best days are going to be Super Bowl weekend. So they caught an enormous break considering just 8 or 9 days ago they had about 11 inches of snow in this parking lot here at MetLife Stadium.
Live on the line with John Kutchko, the sports anchor for WROC-TV in Rochester. He's at the Super Bowl. We were talking about this earlier, John. The Marshawn Lynch controversy really doesn't amount to much, does it, really, this week?
No. I know it got a lot of play, but you know how this week goes. I mean, you get a lot of people covering this that aren't used to covering the NFL at all. You get a lot of rookies in there on media day, and they'll turn some minuscule thing into what they perceive to be a major story. But this was nothing at all. It would have been something if he didn't show up and speak at all, but he came out, he did what was required, and then he stopped talking, which is fine. I mean, he avoided the fine by the league, and you go forward. But, you know, with the Super Bowl, as you know, as well as anybody, you get a lot of people covering this thing that just don't have sports backgrounds. They come from Inside Edition or Deadspin or whatever, and they're just not used to covering what you and I are used to covering every day.
Hey, John, the Seahawks go into the game without anybody with Super Bowl experience on the roster. Do you see that as a factor come kickoff time on Sunday?
You know, I really don't. The game has changed such that I don't know how much stock I put in the prior experience. I know Coach John Fox certainly has it for Denver, having been through this with Carolina when they lost down in Houston to the Patriots. But, you know, in this day and age, I don't know, a game of this magnitude, if that's going to really matter a whole lot. The two teams are very good to get here, and, you know, they're just anxious to get the kickoff. I don't think not having anyone on the roster who's been here before is going to matter a whole lot.
Seahawks with the number one defense, the Broncos with the number one offense. How does that shake out, John? What do you think when they kick off Sunday?
Well, I just like Peyton Manning's chances in this game. It'd be a perfect ending to what has been really a perfect season for him. I like his experience, not necessarily in a Super Bowl, but in big games in this kind of setting. I think this is his time to flourish. It's just been his year. And I just have a hunch that Denver's going to win this thing. I don't think they'll win it in runaway fashion by any means, but I just have to believe that they're going to emerge the champions when all said and done about 10 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday night. They did practice today outdoors for the first time at the Jets facility in Florham Park, which is about 30 miles southwest of here. The Seahawks, and I'm broadcasting live every night right next to where they're practicing, which is the New York Giants headquarters, about 400 yards from the stadium. They've yet to go outside, but there's some talk they may do it tomorrow or the day after. But interesting stuff as we lead up to the Super Bowl. And like I said, I just have a hunch Denver's going to win this thing.
John, we appreciate you taking the time. I know you're very busy these days with all those live shots. Thanks very much for coming on with us, and stay warm, buddy.
I appreciate it. Always an honor and a privilege to be with you. Have a good one.
Thanks, John. John Kutchko from WROC-TV in Rochester, covering the Super Bowl again. And he does live shots for literally dozens of stations all night long, all week long, standing out in the cold on a platform outside MetLife Stadium. good for him. I'm glad I'm not there. I'm glad I'm not doing his job anyway this week. All right, it is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Let's squeeze in a couple of phone calls here. We'll go to Dave in Williamsville. Hi, Dave. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am excited about the new hire. When you have an offensive overseer, I think that's a nice thing to have, especially when I think Mr. Sandusky mentioned he can be sort of a self-scouter. But I think when you have that kind of guy that does that, it is really important to have your role really, really well defined and have a good relationship with our offensive coordinator. And I hope Hackett and he get along really, really well. And that's really all I wanted to say. I think it's nice to have those eyes, especially if he's been around a long time. I just really hope it's well defined and it doesn't end up hurting.
Yeah, I don't know, Will. There was one thing, and Chris Brown points this out. Doug Marrone worked on the same staff with Jim Hostler, when they were both working for Herm Edwards and the New York Jets, and that was back in 2003, 2004. So you would think that the two of them working, Hostler at that time was wide receivers and quarterbacks coach. Marrone obviously was offensive line coach. So there is a relationship there with Doug Marrone anyway. And I do know Nathaniel Hackett a little bit. I have a hard time envisioning a scenario where he would not work well with anybody. I just think that's the way Nathaniel Hackett is. And I'm sure they'll define their roles. And there's certainly, there's enough work to do, especially when you consider that they want to put a lot of attention on E.J. Manuel and make sure that he is up to speed this year. They've got the quarterback coach now that they didn't have last year, Todd Downing. They've got Nathaniel Hackett as the offensive coordinator with the overall design of the offense. And now you add Jim Hostler to the mix with all of his experience, 15 years in the league and offensive coordinator with the 49ers a couple of years ago and the last 6 years with the Baltimore Ravens. I just think it's hard to say that this is a bad move in any way. Let's go to Greg in Cheektowaga. Hi, Greg. Welcome. You're on the air.
It's Fred in Cheektowaga, but that's fine. Thanks for taking my call, John. You're on a class show.
Thanks.
I don't know how much you talked earlier, but Andre's got to go in this year. I got a feeling, just like I had a feeling when Ralph went in. And I thought the comment by Michael Irvin that I heard was interesting. How he said it makes him sick every time he thinks about Andre not being in.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, one Hall of Famer to another. And even I saw a comment from Warren Sapp quoted somewhere, another Hall of Famer, saying that he thought it was not right that Andre Reed wasn't in the Hall of Fame. I think what you might be seeing, Fred, is a gathering consensus that this is Andre Reed's year. I can just sense that from the buzz. Now, neither one of those two has a vote for the Hall of Fame. That's up to the electors, including Mark Gaughan, who we talked to about this a couple of weeks ago. I just get the sense that there's a gathering consensus that if Reed belongs in, and the time is probably now with a new era of receivers coming in. I think Marvin Harrison represents kind of the next generation of receivers. Marvin Harrison, who is up this year, has a lot more touchdown catches and a lot more receptions than Andre Reed. The guys that will follow him, eligible receivers, will have that as well, which to me indicates that it's time now for Andre Reed to get the call so that, he doesn't get lost in the shuffle for the next generation of receivers. I think it'd be a feather in the Bills' cap to have another player from that Super Bowl era to go in the Hall of Fame. I really do. I mean, to join Thurman Thomas and Jim Kelly and Bruce Smith and Marv Levy. James Lofton was along for part of that ride as well. I think that'd be an amazing feat for a team that did not win a championship. But Reed has the numbers. He has the support, I think. If you heard Marv Levy in our first segment at 7:30 tonight, if you heard Marv Levy talk about how the numbers don't even tell the whole story when you think about yards after the catch and playing in a different era of football and playing in bad weather conditions, I just think that there's almost a consensus developing that this is Andre Reed's time now before it gets away from him. But we'll see. Again, we'll find out about 7 p.m. on Saturday. That's when the results of the voting will be announced. You can see it for yourself on the NFL Honor Show. It'll be telecast on Fox TV this Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Well, coming up next, we're going to talk with Bills linebacker Arthur Motes. He is right in the thick of things in a competition to benefit the United Way of Buffalo and Erie County, and you can help. Arthur Motes joins us live next on the show, The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Busy night here on the John Murphy Show. Cold night in Buffalo. Thanks for tuning in wherever you may be. We've got a lot going on when you think about it. We've talked with Marv Levy tonight. We talked with Jerry Sandusky, the Ravens play-by-play man, about the brand-new senior offensive assistant for the Bills, Jim Hostler. Talked with John Kutchko from WROC-TV a little bit ago about the Super Bowl. He is out there in the cold in the Meadowlands of New Jersey. Coming up this Sunday, the big competition. And I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. I'm talking about the United Way Team NFL Playoff Challenge. And the Bills are right in the thick of things. Bills linebacker Arthur Motes is one of the finalists for the United Way Team NFL Playoff Challenge. And the voting ends on Sunday. We've got Arthur Motes live on the line with us. Arthur, how are you? Good to talk to you. It's been a couple of weeks. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. I appreciate you having me on. How you been?
We're doing okay, trying to stay warm and looking forward to Sunday, the big game, and the big United Way Team NFL Playoff Challenge, Arthur. Tell us how this works.
Okay, so with the whole United Way Playoff Challenge, every NFL team, all 32 of us, have our United Way Worldwide spokesperson. And when we got to the playoffs, we cut down to the top 12 vote getters as far as getting the amount of people to volunteer at their local United Way. So throughout the whole playoffs, corresponding with the actual NFL playoffs, we cut down each week by, you know, two people, four people, till we get to the final two, which is me and Cliff Abel from the Seattle Seahawks. And the biggest thing is we're just trying to gain as many volunteers to, you know, go out to their local United Ways and volunteer, you know, trying to be a mentors and things like that. And the ultimately, whoever wins as far as getting the most votes will receive $10,000 for their local United Way. And as far as, you know, advancing different needs for students and just further education. So that's the ultimate goal, ultimately. So I'm definitely excited about it. I mean, it's an honor and privilege to be in the top two. And just the whole community of Buffalo has been great as far as showing their support for the whole cause.
So what you're trying to do and what the United Way is trying to do nationwide is to generate volunteers, right? And what people are doing is going to the United Way website, agreeing to volunteer, and putting it under your name so that counts as a vote on your behalf, right?
Yes, correct. And that's the big purpose. And also we have more incentives as well for individuals because, I mean, anyone could just sign up. But what we're trying to do is get people to actually get even more involved and take that next step. So, for example, for some of the incentives that we have here up in Buffalo, the individual who logs the most volunteer hours would definitely he or she will receive, you know, one autographed football from me. Or the individual who has, like, the second most will receive the autographed hat, and then so on and so on. So things like that. So just to also put that extra incentive in there to get people to go the extra mile.
Nationwide, they're trying to get 99,000 United Way volunteers. Think of all the good work those people could do, Arthur, huh?
Oh, man, it could be huge. And the thing is this, anytime you get everybody in the community and just in this nation, you know, getting everybody working together for the same cause, the results are going to be great. And you never know which child, you know, you're going to impact and change the course of their life for, you know, the greater good for honestly, for America. I mean, you just never know. The results could be, you know, just great. So the fact that we're having this opportunity to touch so many lives, I mean, it's a great experience.
So it's in the finals now. It's down to you against Cliff Avril of the Seattle Seahawks. And whoever gets more volunteers down the stretch here, that means a $10,000 grant to the United Way of Buffalo and Erie County. That's a pretty good incentive. That's a pretty good incentive for Western New Yorkers to get involved here, right?
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, if you think about what $10,000 could do as far as, you know, improving academics in this area and just getting more children motivated about learning and wanting to be successful in life, I mean, just the overall, you know, makeup of the community would definitely take a step forward and ultimately help build that ground for the future. So that way it won't just be this year where, you know, students are doing better in school. It'll be the next year and the year after that because they'll be enthused about it and it'll make everybody just better in this community.
Yeah. All right. So if folks want to participate and we're in the home stretch here, the voting is open until noon on Sunday. All you have to do is go to unitedway.org/team-NFL and look for Arthur Motes' page right there. Again, unitedway.org/team-NFL, and your page is right there. You click on there. It's a vote for Arthur Motes, and who knows, maybe you win the whole thing. That'd be a nice little consolation prize for not being in the playoffs, actually, Arthur, wouldn't it?
Oh, it definitely would, man. You know, just the fact that I've made it this far is definitely a good feeling. So any type of, you know, championship winning on any level would be a good start for us. And I feel like, you know, we definitely are in a position to accomplish this. And I feel like it'll not only be good for, you know, the team as far as the Buffalo Bills, but just the community of Buffalo to see that, hey, when we put our hearts together and we join a cause, we can be successful and beat anybody in the world.
Arthur Motes is our guest as he gets involved in this United Way Team NFL Playoff Challenge. As you may know, Arthur is the Bills' Walter Payton Man of the Year recipient, and you've been involved with the United Way for a couple of years now. You were an intern with the United Way about 2 years ago, right, Arthur?
Yes, I was. I did an internship with them to fulfill my undergraduate requirements so I can receive my degree. So that was my first introduction to them, and then just from there, just, you know, have my eyes open to how much work they're able to do and how many lives they're able to touch just across the board. I mean, it's not just, you know, the children. You also touch, you know, older people. You also touch, you know, people dealing with as far as like health and wellness. So just to see so many different areas where you can have things in common with people, I mean, I feel like the United Way is a great venue and a great window as far as, you know, being able to just reach so many people like that.
It's pretty amazing that you're in the finals in this, Arthur. And let's face it, you know, the Bills aren't in the playoffs. They're really not a high-profile NFL team right now. And what does it say about the support that you guys get and the volunteerism of Western New Yorkers that you find yourself in the finals up against Cliff Averill this week?
Man, I just feel like it's a huge, you know, shout-out and just, you know, tip of the hat to the people in this community. It shows that they're really supportive of this team and of this community. And no matter, you know, how the season looks, I mean, I know I've said this numerous times from my rookie year, no matter how we're doing football-wise, whether it's good or bad, we always have the support of the community. I mean, if you look in the stands, they're always there, you know, just cheering their hearts out, having a blast. And when you see people in the community at different stores and stuff like that, they're always saying positive things. So just to see them not only say that, but just continue to show that through something just like this, I mean, it definitely says a lot about the community. And it makes you, you know, really appreciate it.
It is John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live on the line with Bills linebacker Arthur Motes talking about the United Way Team NFL Playoff Challenge. More on that in a minute. But, Arthur, big shakeup on the Buffalo defense just this week. Your thoughts, first of all, on Mike Pettine's departure. What did you think?
Well, I mean, it was one of those things. We definitely knew he had the potential to be a head coach. I mean, I know from the first day he came into the building and just going through, you know, a full season under his, you know, leadership and stuff like that, and just seeing his general knowledge, just not only for defense but for the game and all aspects of it. I mean, it was definitely one of those things where we were selfishly hoping that the opportunity wouldn't arise this year, maybe next year. But, I mean, you can't hold people back. So the fact that the opportunity arose for him and he was able to get it, I'm definitely happy for him. And I wish him all the success, except when he plays us next year. So from that aspect of it, you know, I won't be changing my opinion.
Yeah, and Doug Marrone told us and Doug Whaley told us last week they had a plan in place. And lo and behold, just a couple of days after Pettin left, they get Jim Schwartz in here to be defensive coordinator. What do you think of that hire, Arthur?
Oh, man, I'm definitely excited about it. I mean, if you look at the success he had at Tennessee, you know, he definitely led a lot of great defenses down there with Keith Bullock, especially one of the linebackers that was standing out down there. You think about Javon Kersey. You just look at that roster and how they had those players and look at the similarities that we have up here in Buffalo currently. I mean, you definitely get excited about it. And then you see the success that he had at Detroit as well, leading those guys to the playoffs and showing that he can run the show as a head coach. I mean, all those things you kind of think about and you're just, you know, like, okay, I feel like this is a really good hire. And especially for how late in the game it was. It wasn't like we hired him, you know, the first week outside of the season ending. This was late in the whole process. So the fact that somebody as good as him and as credible as him was still on the market, it definitely was a good thing.
You still got to hire at least one linebacker coach, Arthur. Do players follow along? I mean, do you kind of wait and see who this is going to be? Do you have guys in mind that you hope they'd talk to? How do players handle that when their coaching changes?
Actually, I mean, when it comes to as far as like position coaches, for us, it's hard for us to really follow as far as who's out there, who's, you know, interested in this and that. It's kind of a wait-and-see approach for us. You can hear more about defensive coordinators because they get more of the publicity and more of the press when it comes to that aspect of it. But with assistant coaches, it's kind of a wait-and-see process. But either way, you know, once they get here, I'm pretty sure they're going to be all on board for winning, and that's exactly what we want.
Speaking of wait and see, Arthur, you go into, you know, a couple of weeks away from free agency. Have you thought about I assume you want to return to Buffalo. Is that where your mind is set right now anyway?
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. I mean, with Buffalo, they're the team that drafted me. So I definitely, you know, hold that loyalty towards them. But at the same time, I understand it is a business. So from that aspect of it, you kind of have to be open-minded. But ultimately, I mean, I would love to stay here, and we'll see what happens through this whole process.
Well, we'll see what happens this weekend with the United Way Playoff Challenge. What do you want to tell people as far as putting you over the top and winning this thing, Arthur? What do you want to say to those Bills fans who may not have participated yet?
Well, I put it like this. Let's show everybody, especially those in Seattle who think that they have the best fans. Everyone talks about the 12 man. Bump that. Bills Mafia. Buffalo has the best fans, hands down. So let's go ahead and show them head-to-head that we do have that. And not only do we have the best fans as far as games, we have the best fans as far as what they do in the community as far as improving everybody as well. So from that aspect of it, that's why I feel like if you haven't voted yet, you should definitely get on board and we go ahead and send a message to the league.
All right. Well, Arthur, we want to let people know they can go to unitedway.org/teamNFL and look for your page, Arthur Moat's page there. There's no monetary commitment involved. It is a volunteer commitment. You can, if the Bills win it, if Arthur Moat's wins it, it's a $10,000 grant to the United Way of Buffalo and Erie County and nationwide. They are aiming for 99,000 United Way volunteers through this program. Arthur, good luck with this. Noon Sunday, you'll know if you win or you win this thing, right?
Definitely. And I'll definitely let you know.
Thanks, Arthur.
I appreciate you again, man. Go Bills.
Okay. Arthur Moats, Bills linebacker, part of the United Way Team NFL Playoff Challenge. You can vote right now. You can vote until noon on Sunday. Again, go to unitedway.org/team-NFL. Look for Arthur Moats' page there. And, again, $10,000 grant to the United Way of Buffalo and Erie County if Arthur Moats wins. He's up against Cliff Averill of the Seattle Seahawks. The two of them head-to-head this week with $10,000 at stake and potentially 99,000 new volunteers for the United Way nationwide. Thanks to Arthur Moats. Hey, we want to thank the folks from NOCO and Nickel City Foods for catering our show tonight. We don't get much catering at the show, but we did tonight. An unbelievable food tray sent in, beef on weck, turkey sandwiches, stromboli, just amazing stuff. If you're looking for creative catering for any occasion, you want to check out Nickel City Foods. Go to nickelcitycafe.com for more information on that. A great job by them, and we thank them again for sending in the food for our show and the folks at Digital Media today. All right, we got a few minutes left in the show, and the phone lines are open. Your comments are welcome. 803-0550, the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Your thoughts on the Super Bowl. Your thought on Marshawn Lynch at the Super Bowl. Your thoughts on the brand-new addition to the Bills coaching staff today, Jim Hostler, the senior offensive assistant. We'll talk about all of that when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Just a couple of minutes left here in the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. The next couple of nights, Sal Capaccio will be in. He'll host a one-hour show tomorrow night, taking in the Sabres hockey. And then on Friday night, he'll have the full two-hour show. Sal Capaccio coming up the next couple of nights here on the show. Hey, again, our thanks to Arthur Moats, Bills linebacker, the most enthusiastic, energetic player of all time. He really is, and he's very enthusiastic about the United Way Team NFL Playoff Challenge. Again, you can vote till noon on Sunday, and if you cast a vote and essentially volunteer some time for the United Way locally here in Buffalo and Western New York, it counts as a vote for Arthur Moats in his battle against Cliff Averill of the Seattle Seahawks. If Arthur wins, it's a $10,000 grant to the United Way of Buffalo and Erie County. Just go to unitedway.org/team-NFL and follow along. You'll see Arthur Moat's name there, and you can vote right there. Thanks to Arthur for joining us. Some good things he had to say about the coaching change, about Jim Schwartz, and it's going to be interesting to see how players, the holdover players like Arthur, mesh with the new coaching staff as they come in. Speaking of Jim Schwartz, we did, if you missed it last night, on the podcast last night, we talked with a guy who played 8 years under Jim Schwartz, Kyle VandenBosch, who was a defensive end with the Tennessee Titans and then a defensive end with the Detroit Lions. Last 8 years of his career, Jim Schwartz was either his defensive coordinator or his head coach. And we had a great conversation with him on the podcast last night. If you missed it, you can go to BuffaloBills.com and find it there. You can download the Mobile Bills app at BuffaloBills.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can catch up on what you missed at BuffaloBills.com/John Murphy Show, including the interviews you may have missed tonight. Phone lines open in the next few minutes here, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Your thoughts on anything at all, Marshawn Lynch at the Super Bowl, or maybe the Bills shuffling coaching staff, still with some holes to plug. They named Jim Hostler today as the senior offensive assistant. You may have heard Jerry Sandusky, the voice of the Ravens a moment ago, talk about Hostler. This was a guy who was in line to be the offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, and then they decided to go outside and hire Gary Kubiak earlier this week. Hostler decides to leave the Baltimore Ravens, and now he finds himself with the Buffalo Bills as the senior offensive assistant. kind of a, you know, I would think that that is, well, who knows what the flow chart looks like. We'll have to ask head coach Doug Marrone when they detail all of these coaching moves. But certainly a good addition, a guy who was a wide receivers coach in Baltimore for the last six years, a guy who was the quarterbacks coach for the 49ers. He was an offensive coordinator for the 49ers in 07, and it's a brand-new position on the Bills coaching staff. Senior offensive assistant Jim Hostler added to the coaching roster today. So again, if you're keeping score, what's going on with the Bills coaching staff? Mike Pettine gone, obviously, goes to Cleveland as head coach, and in his place on Monday, the Bills hired Jim Schwartz as the defensive coordinator. They lost two linebackers coaches. Jim O'Neill went to Cleveland as defensive coordinator. Chuck Driesbach was let go by the Bills a couple of weeks ago, both of them in Cleveland now, and the Bills have a vacancy open for linebackers coach. Defensive line, Anthony Weaver, named the defensive line coach in Cleveland, so that position is open here in Buffalo. Defensive quality control, Brian Fleury had that post here in Buffalo. He's gone on now to the Cleveland Browns coaching defensive backs, so that position is open here in Buffalo. The Bills didn't have a quarterbacks coach last year. They hired Todd Downing last Friday to take that position, and he comes from Detroit. They lost wide receiver coach Ike Hilliard, let him go at the end of the year, and that position remains open. They're still trying to fill that. And the senior offensive assistant position, Jim Hostler took that today, a position that wasn't there. So, again, still open for the Bills. Wide receiver, linebacker, one or two coaches there, defensive line, and defensive quality control. They've got a lot of work to do in the next couple of days. I would imagine in the next week or so, all of those positions will be filled. But a big hire today with Jim Hostler, named the new senior offensive assistant for the Buffalo Bills. Well, as we said, tomorrow night, Sal Capaccia will be in this chair, actually in the chair at our flagship in Buffalo from 7 to 8 p.m., taking things over. And then Sal will be back on Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. hosting the show. So make sure you tune into him. He'll have his take on the Super Bowl as the game approaches. I'm sure he's going to want to hear from you as to what you think will go on Sunday. It's a 6:30 kickoff, MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands of New Jersey. The weather looks fine, not going to be a factor. It's cold right now, going to warm up there over the next few days, and it should be a great Super Bowl. Who am I picking? Tough one, but I'm going to go with Denver. I was amazed at how well Peyton Manning played in the AFC Championship game. I was disappointed at Russell Wilson's game against the 49ers. I thought he'd play better, quite frankly. And because of the quarterback play, I'll give the Broncos a slight edge in this game and look for them to win on Sunday. We'll be back on the air on Monday. We will be, but Sal Capaccia will be here tomorrow. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO. Family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer, Mike Jafari. Our producer, the Bills Director of Broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. We'll see you Monday. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. From One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.